Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome again here in Circles of Change, our final segment of the day. I'm going to take us and still hang on to that 4th of July essence from this past week and welcome Rita Brentz on the line. Rita, how are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you, Zara?
I just am doing great. I can't wait for this conversation. Rita and I know each other from our client association. She's manager of payroll for the Werner Company, where she's worked for 25 years, starting as a payroll clerk and then progressing through various HR and finance roles. Werner, of course, is a household name, the world's leading manufacturer and distributor of fiberglass, aluminum, and wood climbing products, in other words, ladders. Originally from Sharon, Pennsylvania, Rita went to college after being out of high school for 16 years, earning then two bachelor's of arts degrees from Penn State, then accreditation in finance, business law, human resources, economics, and office systems. Before joining Werner, she had her own bookkeeping service and did credit searches for bank institutions while raising her three sons and two stepsons. And Rita and her husband now have 10 grand and step-grandchildren. Family is first in her life, as you're going to hear, followed by interest in genealogy. Her family tree, in fact, is almost complete, she says. Classic cars and reading. And Rita has been active in parent-teacher associations, community fundraisers, business professional societies, and is a first responder for health crises at the Werner Company. Well, I entitled this segment, The Strength of the Family Tree, 84 Reunions, Rita.
Yes.
So tell us that, 84 family reunions, and in the continuation, how did this all start?
Well, it started by my grandfather, Patrick Hanley, was introduced to my grandmother, Mariah Finn, by William, my grandmother's brother.
Okay.
Mariah worked as a domestic, which was a maid at a place called the Sharon Hotel. And from there, it continued on. Patrick and Mariah were married on July 3rd, 1893. And the first reunion, how it totally got started, was to celebrate their wedding anniversary. And it has continued on for 84 years since then.
You know, you have to wonder if they realized what they were starting. I mean, what a great excuse then to have other people help celebrate your anniversary,
yeah.
Let alone that it would continue on in four generations.
Probably not. You know, they probably didn't. I mean, they had, you know, they had eight children. There's 28 grandchildren. There's 76 great-grandchildren, and there's 117 great-great-grandchildren. I'm the youngest living grandchild.
Wow, isn't that something? And you also had mentioned, I think, that really there now is only one heir to carry on the family name, too.
Yes,
right?
We only have one heir to carry on a Hanley name.
There we go, girls. Okay, got to let the guys have their due every now and then. Well, you know, over the years, what have, you know, have you been able to retain some sort of, you know, chronology or capture? I'm certain in this day and age it's digital photos, but tell us that story over the years of these reunions.
Well, we've gotten together, we get together at parks, we've gotten together at different picnics and people's homes, and my parents had a large farm. So they congregated at the farm, and it went way, way back when, you know, families really had to figure out how to stay together, and a good explanation of that really would be during the Second World War. You know, there was gasoline rationing. Since my parents had the farm, they got more gas stamps, and they had a 1940 Nash, so my mother would start out early in the morning and go to Sharon, pick up everybody as much as they could, pack them in, bring them back to the car, to the reunion, and repeat the same thing at night. We've developed a really strong sense of family, of wanting to be with one another. We have had such a good time, and my whole family has a really good sense of humor, play practical jokes on each other. You know, we all get together, we have good food just like everyone. We all remember the homemade chicken and noodles, the mashed potatoes, the vegetables. You know, we had watermelons in the evenings, we had cupcakes for kids, we had sparklers and hay rides.
And so has that menu stayed the same just out of respect for the heritage in some ways?
It has for most of the time,
okay.
But we diversify. Last year we had hamburgers and hot dogs, and it was a lot easier when you had it in individuals' home to have those type of menus. So you change from year to year. A couple of times we have tried to do that, but we haven't quite been able to have the same recipe that my Aunt Marie did for the homemade noodles.
I was going to say, there you go. So did the recipe still say top secret in the process?
Yeah, it's hard to do that, but we're going to try it again sometime. You know?
And I've got to believe there are also some culinary experts amongst the family that are saying, okay, I'm going to bring lasagna this year, and let's see if that takes off on the list of, oh, you got to have Susan's lasagna next year.
We do. We share recipes. Everybody brings different dishes. You know, we usually have the meats and the buns and the pop. The officers bring that, and everybody brings their favorite dish, so that makes it a lot more fun.
But, you know, even I love your use of the word pop, by the way. I'm from the Midwest, so I can say that, too. Other people would kind of look at you funny and say, isn't it soda, you know? So even watching how that's probably changed over time, the type of soda that people brought, you've got kind of a history lesson here, don't you?
Yeah, way back we had what was called knee-high pop, and they put it in glass bottles. Of course, you don't have that now, but that was one of just the strengths. Us kids loved that. We had the orange and the grape and the good cherry, and at the farm, of course, we had a large vat in the milk house. So okay. It was in there under ice, and it was really, really, really cold, and we just enjoyed that so much. But we still have, you know, you have your canned pop now, but water, iced tea, lemonade, whatever you...
And so what are some of the fun activities? Are there some of those that have stood the test of time through four generations?
We try to have a lot of the games. You need to include the children because mm-hmm. they need to make sure that they're welcomed also. That's what makes them want to come back and keep the development of the reunion going, you know. But you still play games, but a lot of the things that we have tried to do, the time goes so fast and you don't realize it. But we always had sack races. We used to do that with our parents and play baseball in the fields, which was a lot of fun. And egg tosses, a lot of the old games. We try to bring some of those back now, but a lot of the kids that would look at you, but they're a lot of fun.
I think you also saw on your list that you said you were looking for coins that the poker players would drop.
Oh, yeah.
So are there some poker tables off to the side here during
always,
these reunions?
Always. We had two or three tables with poker players, and us kids, you know, once they would go in to go eat or whatever, we kind of go underneath the card tables to see if we could find any coins, and we usually did.
What about, is that where some of the lessons were taught from generation to generation on the smart way to play poker?
Probably. I was never a good poker player, but my brother lied. My brothers used to play a lot, but I think it has passed down. We still bring the card games, and everybody tries to play, but we don't play as much poker. This year, we didn't play any. Last couple years, it's maybe just card games, but there's one bug your neighbor, and so you diversify every year because you bring in fresh ideas from the young and the old, so you change things.
That's right. Well, you know, what do you think, Rita, has taken to keep this family tradition alive from all of you? Is it truly two or three of you that continue to keep that fire going, or is there other things that have allowed this to continue? I suspect listeners are thinking about that.
Well, it's commitment. Yeah. We do, within the family, elect officers. And those, we have president and vice president, secretary and treasurer. We have
Do you have campaigns for that? They
got
to vote. Ooh, okay.
So the family votes on you. They stay in for 2 years.
Okay.
So you have to have a strong organizer. You make sure you have some young and some old, because you have to have something with the old ideas. You bring in the fresh new ideas. And that way you have to have some place to plant it, where you're going to have it, if you're going to have it at a park or whatever. And you have to have people to organize it. You've got to be committed. It still is work. It is some determination, but everybody helps. We have a planning meeting, and any relative can come. You bring good ideas, whatever, and it all works together.
It sounds like one of the things that really has kept this fire burning, though, from your family probably goes right back to your great-great-grandparents. Right? Their values and the things they've planted and then you all have continued to nurture?
Yeah, they really passed on their values, their humor, the love of family. Because even according to my mother, even when times were rough, you know, they would still get together and they would bring whatever they could to eat. So just knowing that you had someone there that gave them strength, and there was respect for young and for old. And within my family, we still have that universal respect. And they wanted to get together and have fun. And nowadays, I think that is sometimes a lot more important, because we're spread across the United States. My family's in 18 different states now. So it is more important to bring those together. And they, you know, just to have a nice entertaining evening. Way back, a lot of my relatives were musically inclined. They brought the instruments and we used to sing at the end of the evening and sing old Irish songs.
Mm-hmm.
But it was some way to keep it together.
18 different states now. So the reunion you all just had last week, did you get strong attendance then from across the country?
We only, well, they went, came from California. That was the farthest away. And the other, the closest was Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. And didn't you tell me you actually, at this point in time, have two epicenters going at the same time, one in Texas and one in Pennsylvania?
Yes. We have relatives in Houston, Texas. So what they do is they have a, also on the 4th of July, and they have a family reunion with all the ones that live in that surrounding area from New Mexico. So they do the same thing. So we have one in the south and one up here in Pennsylvania. Next year, we're hoping to use a little bit of the technology and try to bring that together with some real time so we can maybe Skype back and forth talk to one another.
That is great.
Really looking forward to doing that.
Well, now, and you know what? If you can take this to committee for approval, all right? And you can steal this idea shamelessly. For your teenagers, you should get them all as part of the fun, but restrict the time to get on one of their multiplayer computer games.
Yeah.
And you can get one of these big Warcraft things going on, whatever. You know, coast to coast, there you go.
Yeah. It's a good idea. You've got to involve the young.
Yeah.
You have to, because you have to bring in all the new ideas. And if you don't involve all your children that you have now, you're going to lose that connection. You've got to keep that connection going.
So do you have an idea of how many attended the first reunion compared to now the 84th reunion that was just had?
No, the first one, we don't, the farthest we go back in our minutes, because we have minutes is 1953.
Minutes even, oh my.
Yeah, we have minutes all the way back, because we have exactly what was on the menu, how much it cost, usually how much as they attended. But the earlier ones, excuse me, we don't have any minutes. In 1953, we had 125 people. This year, we only had 44.
Okay, yep.
So it has really changed. Our oldest was 84 years old, and our youngest was 15 months.
Yeah, that's right. But it also goes to show you the challenge, and this is kind of reflective of the society that we're in, of this, you know, on one hand, desire to be connected, but, you know, 18 different states now, it's a different dynamic. Well, one of my questions, of course, for any of us who've planned big events, and I love the fact you guys have officers and keep minutes, as though you still are always going to contend with that, oh, but you can't let Uncle Bill sit next to Aunt Sally and watch for so-and-so, you know, that other dynamic that goes around in a family. How have you watched that play out, or can you possibly manage it?
You can. If there, you know, you have to realize there's going to be problems within a family. I mean, there always is. But for ours, they usually don't bring them to the reunion. If you have a family that there is a problem with, if they have an issue, then you let them work it out on their own. Time usually always has the upper hand. And that family usually will come back the next year with a smile. And if they decide not to, then one of us will still contact them. It doesn't have to be an officer. It can be another family member. But they'll still contact them and let them know they're loved. And it's their decision whether they want to attend.
Mm-hmm.
But they usually don't bring the bad feelings to the reunion.
Yeah.
They really don't.
Boy, I can imagine for those individuals in your community, in your family, that you have just proposed, and the fiancé. Boy, talk about one-stop shopping to get to know the family. This has the makings of a movie, Rita.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Has anybody ventured and been so bold to bring their newly, you know, engaged partner to an event?
Oh, yeah. We had one this year that's getting married on the 17th, 16th of September. Yes.
Okay.
Everybody brings their friends. They can bring their friends, their other significant other, or it doesn't make, everybody's welcome. The more the merrier.
Have you found that anyone who's come that then has turned around and said, well, my family needs to do this? Do you know of anybody who's kind of picked up your minutes and said, okay, let's go see if I can't try this with my family?
Actually, I have, and I have had a few individuals when I've spoke with it at work, actually, and some of the girls have said, you know, that's a good idea. You know, what have you done? Can you give me some pointers on how to get it started? And we have done that thing. You just have to really be committed if you're going to give a try to do that and have a small lunch or something like that to bring the people together, get their ideas, see where their locations, what they would have in mind to do. But sometimes they start out small, and the few other ones that I know now have, it's grown to a very, very large organization almost, and they enjoy it just as much as they did when they started out.
I liked what you said, though, too, in the mix. You have to be willing to, you know, make sure you're appealing to all the generations and try new things to capture that. And I suspect that isn't just for the younger kids, but for people of all ages to keep it fresh.
Yes, that's correct. I mean, for us, we're lucky because we have a large span of age. Mm-hmm. The oldest grandchild is 94, and the youngest is 64. So we have a large, so you have the ideas from the older ones and the youngest ones. So it, to keep it together, and when the younger ones marry, they start having children.
Right.
They want to give your children that sense of belonging, you know, not just as a child, but as a person. So if they can experience that relationship and bring it into the family reunion, that helps to make it a little bit more solid, and they want to come back too.
And so there are instances, I suspect, then when you may not see some people for periods of years, and then, oh, by the way, there's something that clicks and gets them reengaged.
Exactly. That's why. And that's why even for us for next year, we've changed our date to.
Oh, my goodness. Change the date.
We did. We changed it to July the 7th because we have so many of the younger ones that have actually expressed and said, I really would like to come. But because they live so far away, they can't, especially during the week. Most places only have one day off. So we've changed it to the weekend. We're going to have it on July 7th because the family is what's important. That's okay. What you have to remember. The date is always going to be special. That doesn't make any difference. But in order for them to come back, we're going to change it and see what happens.
I wonder what your great-great-grandparents are saying as they watch this unfurl every year. Do you ever talk about that or think about that?
Yes, we do. We have, as I said, we have officers, and each family does pay a certain amount once we figure up our expenses. So what we have done in the treasury, we have built that up, and we have, you, no matter what we have left, we've used it for something for the family. And my grandparents stone at the cemetery really needed a lot of work. So, you know, you do talk about them and you want to keep it alive, and that's one way that we can show the younger children the connection.
Right, the power of family.
We went out, we had their stone, it's an obelisk, we had it totally redone, and it looks beautiful. So, I mean, I just took my grandchild out there about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and I showed him exactly, you know, these are your great, great, great grandparents, and this is what the reunion's all about, and this is why you make the connection, and this is how this started. He just sat there and looked at me, but it finally, you know, he's young enough, and he's making that connection now.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so
you,
we do speak them.
Yeah, and you mentioned also in your note the practice that there are some older family members that may not have the opportunity to actually travel to the reunion. You said you'd have, what, the oldest living grandchild now is 94?
Correct.
Yeah, and so you allow him or her still some connection by signing cards? Is that what you did?
Yeah, especially if there's someone ill, then everyone at the reunion will write a message in the card, send it to them. So we want them to know that even though they're far away and they can't come, we still remember them, you know, because they're part of it. They're what started this whole connection that we have for our family reunion. So we always send them a goodwill card or just a cheery hello. Some of them that are able to get on the internet, you know, and I have to say Facebook has made it a lot closer for us, you know, mm-hmm. for technology. And we talk to them over the internet. So that's something we try to do for everybody.
And I have this view, you guys are going to Skype, not just between your two locations, but you also could set up some way to connect with those who aren't well enough to be able to travel. I love that idea.
Yeah.
Well, Rita, I mentioned in the introduction, of course, that professionally you're the manager of payroll for the Warner Company. I'd just be curious to know, what do you think your lessons learned are from this whole role you play in this 84 reunion streak that you've applied back at work, or the vice versa, how the kind of things you do at payroll and those business responsibilities have helped you guide this important leadership responsibility for your family?
I think it ties all together. You have to remember, no matter what you do in your life, you've got to learn to agree to disagree. You have to make sure that you know that you don't focus always on differences of things, mm-hmm. because you have to remember, whether it's you, it's your working individuals that you work with or family, that you have to continue to build relationships. So when you build relationships, that builds understanding. And you have to, if you're going to do some criticism, make sure it's a constructive criticism. And you have to be careful because you've never walked in those person's shoes. So you have to really step back and say, okay, what's that person going through right now? especially if you're going to mentor someone or whatever. And I do that at work. I have, you know, thousands of individuals that I classify as my customers, and my customers are the people for the hourly and salary payroll.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to make sure, you know, that they're happy. If they're happy, I'm happy. And it's the same thing in your relationship with your family.
Well, I think the other piece of it, of course, is the Warner Company is global, so your responsibilities aren't just those who you speak to in the same native tongue. And in some regards, that's the same way with family, right? I mean, we can think we all speak English, but we could be speaking totally different dialects, both literally and figuratively. So that sensitivity to the differences, but yet the samenesses?
Yeah. Well, you know, the one thing that I learned even the first time that I went down to Mexico, I couldn't speak the language, but you can draw pictures.
Yeah.
You can draw pictures, and you can smile, and you can shake someone's hand. And even if you can't speak the language, there's always a way to correspond.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It was the same. I went to Finland many, many years ago, and I couldn't speak a word of Finn, but I could read their signs.
Yeah, that's priceless. Well, so the reunion next year is going to a different date.
Yeah.
At the close of any given year, do you circulate a survey or ask for new ideas?
We'd usually do that actually coming around maybe in April, May of the next year.
Okay, great.
We leave it up to the officers to decide where we're going to have it and what we're going to do. And that's why when you have different officers for every 2 years, you get different places to go and different ideas. So, and when you have your meetings, the individual will come and say, well, why don't we try this or why don't we try that? So you do.
What was the biggest change that you implemented this year that caught everybody off guard and gave everybody a big smile?
The biggest change?
Yeah.
I don't think there really was.
So probably the mere fact that you all kept it together was important for everyone, too.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing we had, we did this year that was a little different, I took a lot of the 8mm movies that my father had taken,
yep.
And we got them onto a DVD. And we brought the computers so everybody could see, and they could see their parents, what they were doing in 1953 on the old movies.
Don't you love
it? So that this year kind of took it out a little bit different, so we didn't play a lot of games because that really took over, because it was really strange to go back that many years and see everybody on these old movies. So we're going to continue to do that. We have some more to put on.
Well, and you know, also to see the similarities of appearances across the generations. I know, particularly as kids, that's always one of... Now, is that me? Or no, that's my dad. Oh, no, that's Grandpa, to see that.
Yeah.
Well,
we
Rita,
had...
thank you so much for the sharing of your experience and your process that you go through with your family. I give you hats off for leveraging technology, but most importantly, just sticking with the heart of what your great-great-grandparents planted amongst your family line. Rita Brents, thank you so much for joining us here on Circles of Change.
Thank you for having me, Zora.
You bet. Have a great afternoon.
You too.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.